Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports on the reaction in Minnesota to a fatal shooting by federal agents.
Anger in Minneapolis after an ICE officer shot and killed a driver during the Trump administration's latest immigration crackdown. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem alleged the woman was trying to run over agents.
She had been stalking and impeding their work all throughout the day. ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands.
To Minnesotans, I say this. I feel your anger. I'm angry.
But Governor Tim Walz says
they want a show. We can't give it to them. We cannot. If you protest and express your First Amendment rights, please do so peacefully as you always do.
And he adds,
to Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, you've done enough. There's nothing more important than Minnesotan safety. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary.
I'm Ben Thomas.
President Trump proposed setting U.S. military spending at $1.5 trillion in 2027, citing troubled and dangerous times. Trump called for the massive surge in spending days after he ordered a U.S. military operation to capture Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is seeking to tighten its control over Venezuelan oil. A pair of sanctioned tankers transporting petroleum were seized yesterday. The U.S. also says it plans to relax some sanctions so the U.S. can oversee the sale of Venezuela's petroleum worldwide. The Energy Department says the only oil transported in and out of Venezuela will be through approved channels consistent with U.S. law and national security interests.
The Trump administration is looking to assert control over Venezuelan oil after the raid that ousted President Nicolas Maduro. Venezuela has the world's biggest proven crude oil reserves, and the administration intends to control the distribution globally. The U.S. has seized two sanctioned tankers transporting petroleum. Secretary of State Marco Rubio suggests the oil on board would be sold as part of a deal, under which Venezuela's interim government would provide the U.S. up to 50 million barrels of oil.
They understand that the only way they can move oil and generate revenue and not have economic collapse is if they cooperate and work with the United States.
The U.S. plans to relax some sanctions so it can oversee the sale of Venezuela's petroleum worldwide, with the proceeds going into American-controlled bank accounts. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The U.S. has seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuela in the North Atlantic and the Caribbean. The U.S. European Command says in a social media post that it seized a merchant vessel for violations of U.S. sanctions. The vessel, which according to records is flagged to Russia, had been pursued by the U.S. since last month after it tried to evade a U.S. blockade on sanctioned oil vessels around Venezuela. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem says U.S. forces also took control of a tanker in the Caribbean. She says both ships were either last docked in Venezuela or were headed there. Officials say the Russian-flagged vessel, renamed from the Bella One to the Marinera, was sanctioned by the U.S. in 2024 for allegedly smuggling cargo for a company linked to Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran. The U.S. Coast Guard tried to board the vessel in December, but were refused. Donna Warder, Washington.
More information at apnews.com. This is AP News. AP correspondent Haya Pinjwani reports on waivers for state education funding.
The Trump administration is giving the state of Iowa more power to decide how it spends its federal education money. The White House is signing off on a proposal that's expected to be the first of many as conservative states apply for new spending freedom from the federal government. Iowa was the first state to apply for an exemption from certain spending rules after Education Secretary Linda McMahon invited states to request the flexibility last year. Under the arrangement, federal money from four programs aimed at teacher training, English learners, after-school programs, and academic enrichment will be pooled into a single pot with fewer limits on how it's spent. Waivers like this have been offered for years, but are finding new interest under President Donald Trump. Indiana and Oklahoma have made similar requests. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
More on this story at APNews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Colombia is very sick, too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States.
That was President Trump speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One Sunday in the wake of the U.S. military operation in Venezuela.
He has cocaine mills and cocaine factories. He's not going to be doing it very long.
So there will be an operation by the U.S.
It sounds good to me, yeah.
But Trump says he and his Colombian counterpart, Gustavo Petro, exchanged a friendly phone call Wednesday, posting on social media that Petro had called to explain the situation of drugs and other disagreements. Trump says he appreciated the call and Petro's tone, adding that he's invited the Colombian president to the White House. Ben Thomas, Washington.
U.S. transportation officials say that California will lose $160 million for delaying the revocations of 17,000 commercial driver's licenses for immigrants. The state notified those drivers in the fall that they would lose their licenses after a federal audit found problems, including licenses for truckers and bus drivers that remained valid long after an immigrant's visa expired. Some licenses were also given to citizens of Mexico and Canada who do not qualify. More than one quarter of the small sample of California licenses that investigators reviewed were considered unlawful. California delayed the revocations last week after immigration groups sued. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says he'll meet with Danish officials next week after the Trump administration doubled down on its interest in taking over Greenland. Controlling the mineral-rich Danish territory that guards Arctic and North Atlantic approaches to North America has long been a Trump target.
This is not new. He talked about it in his first term.
Rubio told lawmakers this week the U.S. wants to buy Greenland rather than seizing it through military force. But the White House says the military is always an option. Denmark's prime minister says a U.S. takeover would essentially end NATO, of which the Danes are a member.
The Nordics do not lightly make statements like this.
European policy analyst Maria Marta Suut blames what she calls the president's bombastic language,
bordering on direct threats and intimidation.
Republican Senator Roger Marshall says while Greenland is vitally important to U.S. national security,
we can work this out without military forces.
House Speaker Mike Johnson puts it more simply.
This is not a thing, okay?
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
President Trump says he wants to ban large investors from buying houses. On social media, the president called on Congress to approve the ban because he wants to make it easier for younger families to buy their first homes. Last month, the president gave a hint of what he has in mind.
In the new year, I will announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history.
He has faced pressure to address concerns by voters about affordability ahead of November's midterm elections. The president is tapping into longstanding fears corporate ownership of homes has pushed out traditional buyers, forcing more people to rent. He plans to discuss housing and affordability in more detail in 2 weeks at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Governor Ron DeSantis has called for a special session to redraw Florida's congressional districts. Florida is now joining a redistricting arms race among states that have redrawn districts mid-decade. Even though the state's 2026 legislative session starts next week, DeSantis wants to wait for a possible U.S. Supreme Court ruling on the Voting Rights Act before proceeding. The ruling could impact Section 2, which bars discrimination in voting systems. Congressional districts in Florida that are redrawn to favor Republicans could carry big consequences for President Donald Trump's plan to reshape congressional districts in GOP-led states. That could give Republicans a shot at winning additional seats in the midterm elections and retaining control of the closely divided U.S. House. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
New dietary guidelines urge Americans to avoid processed foods and added sugar. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says avoid food that is highly processed.
As Secretary of Health and Human Services,
My message is clear. Eat real food.
The 2025-2030 U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans offers updated recommendations for a healthy diet and provide the foundation for federal nutrition programs and policies.
Added sugars, especially sugar-sweetened beverages, drive metabolic disease. And today our government declares war on added sugar. Highly processed foods loaded with additives, added sugar, and excess salt damage health and should be avoided.
The new document is just 10 pages, upholding Kennedy's pledge to create a simple, understandable guideline. It will have the most profound effect on the federally funded National School Lunch Program, which feeds nearly 30 million children on a typical school day. Ed Donahue, Washington.
No sooner had the judge called the Los Angeles court to order.
People versus Nick Reiner.
Before his attorney, Alan Jackson, dropped a bombshell. He could not represent Reiner, who's charged in the double stabbing death of his parents, Rob and Michelle Reiner. Speaking outside court, he'd only say,
circumstances beyond our control, but more importantly, circumstances beyond Nick's control have dictated that, sadly, it's made it impossible for us to continue our representation.
And
Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder.
Reiner is known to have had addiction and mental health struggles. DA Nathan Hochman.
We are fully confident that a jury will convict Nick Reiner.
Reiner is now represented by public defender Kimberly Green, who says she spoke with the 32-year-old before court.
He was understanding that there was going to be a change in counsel. We haven't had any in-depth.
She says they have not decided on a plea. That hearing was postponed until February 23rd. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Seth Soutal, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks pulled back a bit from their records on Wall Street as their strong start to the year slowed down. The S&P 500 slipped 0.3% Wednesday for its first loss in 4 days. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 466 points as about 0.9%. The Dow and the S&P both set all-time highs a day earlier. The Nasdaq Composite added 0.2%. Homebuilders fell after President Donald Trump suggested moves to prevent large institutional investors from buying single-family homes. Trump said he hopes to make it more affordable for people to buy houses. D.R. Horton fell 3.6%. Crude oil prices fell. Treasury yields swung in the bond market following mixed reports on the U.S. economy. Seth Soutal, New York.
U.S. employers posted fewer jobs in November than in October. The Labor Department says businesses and government agencies posted 7.1 million job openings at the end of November. That's down from 7.4 million in October. But layoffs dropped in November. Many may not be hiring much, but they appear to be holding on to the workers they've got. So hiring in 2026 could either pick up to match the solid economic growth, remain sluggish and drag down the economy, or automation and artificial intelligence could enable a steady economic growth but not create many jobs. The monthly jobs report for December will be released on Friday. Donna Warder, Washington.
Warner Brothers is again rejecting a takeover bid from Paramount and telling shareholders to stick with a rival offer from Netflix. Warner's leadership has repeatedly rebuffed Skydance-owned Paramount's overtures and urged shareholders just weeks ago to support selling its streaming and studio business to Netflix for $72 billion. Meanwhile, Paramount has made efforts to sweeten its $77.9 billion hostile bid for the entire company. Warner Brothers Discovery said Wednesday that its board determined Paramount's offer isn't in the best interest of the company or its shareholders and doesn't meet the criteria of being a superior proposal. It still recommends shareholders support the Netflix deal. I'm Julie Walker.
As comedian and Golden Globes host Nikki Glaser builds out her monologue, she's struggling with incorporating political commentary and a joke about one actress in particular. Golden Globes host Nikki Glaser is struggling to figure out the right joke to make about Julia Roberts. She can't seem to find a Roberts line that won't anger a crowd that adores her.
And you've just been like staring at this whiteboard over and over, thinking like, what are we gonna say about Julia Roberts? We have covered every single angle. And then someone just says something and you're like, that is such an amazing moment. Last year it was Wicked for us. We just could not crack a Wicked joke.
The comedian is hosting the Globes for the second straight year on Sunday. Glaser has been working her monologue jokes in comedy clubs in the run-up to the show to see what works. She also told the AP that she's having to consider whether to mention Venezuela during the show.
You can't even anticipate things a week away as being relevant enough.
The Globes are Sunday live at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS and streams live on Paramount+. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine is back in federal prison in New York, where he joins Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro and Luigi Mangione, charged with killing UnitedHealthcare's CEO. The 29-year-old, whose real name is Daniel Hernandez, drove up to the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn Tuesday in a luxury van with internet personality Aiden Ross streaming live. Tekashi 6ix9ine also posted on his Instagram.
I'm about to go meet the president of Venezuela. I have that luck of just being locked up with presidents. Oh, and I'm about to meet Luigi, too. I guess Luigi Mangione.
Ex-Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez was once at the MDC. Last year, Tekashi 6ix9ine admitted to violating the terms of his release in a gang-related case when he assaulted a man and was caught with drugs. The rapper was sentenced in December to serve 3 more months in federal custody. Julie Walker, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Trae Young's time with the Atlanta Hawks is over. An AP source says the Hawks have agreed to trade Young to the Washington Wizards for a package including veteran CJ McCollum. Corey Kispert is also heading from Washington to Atlanta. Young, a 27-year-old guard and 4-time NBA All-Star, was acquired in a draft day trade with Dallas for Luka Doncic as the number 5 overall pick in 2018. He's averaged 25.2 points per game over 7-plus seasons, though his 19.3 points per game this season are his fewest since his rookie campaign. On the court, Jamal Murray's 22 points and career-high 17 assists and a 14-0 fourth-quarter run helped Denver beat Boston on the road 114-110 without injured 3-time MVP Nikola Jokic.
Not just without Jokic, but everybody that's out just creating for the guys.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 46 as Oklahoma City snapped a rare 2-game skid with a 129-125 overtime win against Utah. College hoops, number 4 UConn won its 11th straight, rallying past Providence 103-98. College football, Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson declared for the NFL draft, and Hockey Hall of Fame goaltender Glenn Hall has died at the age of 94. Former Texas star and NFL receiver Jordan Shipley was in an accident Tuesday on his ranch near his hometown of Burnett, Texas, that left him hospitalized with severe burns. Shipley was operating a machine that caught on fire. He was driven to a local hospital and later taken to Austin on a medical transport flight. He was in critical but stable condition, according to a statement from his family. The 40-year-old Shipley earned AP All-America honors with the Longhorns in 2009. He spent 3 NFL seasons with Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville. Derek Sprague is leaving the PGA of America as CEO after 1 year to tend to his family. Sprague says he was home in upstate New York last month when he realized he needed to be home to care for his mother and mother-in-law. Sprague was the first club professional in 20 years to be appointed CEO of the organization. He also was the first past PGA president to become CEO. The PGA of America hopes to have a replacement in the coming weeks. Sprague will help advise with the transition. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
After nearly 4 years of war and continued Russian attacks, Ukraine's allies have praised the progress made on Tuesday on a framework of international security guarantees to be activated after a ceasefire. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, speaking during the weekly Prime Minister's Questions, tells lawmakers Parliament would vote on troops for Ukraine, but only after a peace deal with Russia.
Along with President Macron and President Zelensky, we agreed a declaration of intent on the deployment of forces in the event of a peace deal. Mr. Speaker, we will set out the details in a statement at the earliest opportunity.
But only after a peace deal with Russia. French President Emmanuel Macron has said France was ready to send several thousand troops as part of a multinational force, but adds they would not be on the front line, but rather far away from any contact zone. While German Chancellor Friedrich Merz adds his country too is prepared to participate in security guarantees, suggesting Germany could station troops in countries bordering Ukraine. On Iran's military channel, Major General Amir Hatami says there are no doubts about the hostility of the US president and the criminal prime minister of Israel towards the Iranian nation. They allow us to meddle in the internal affairs of ours, referring to the protests. Hatemi also referred to Israeli attacks last year on military and nuclear sites in Iran. They have been enemies, he says, throughout history, and he also threatened preemptive military action over the rhetoric targeting the Islamic Republic, likely referring to President Donald Trump's warning that if Tehran violently kills peaceful protesters, America will come to their rescue. The comments come as Iran tries to respond to what it sees as a dual threat posed by Israel and the US, as well as the protests sparked by its economic woes that have grown into a direct challenge. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.